Good afternoon, good evening. You have tuned in to Radiance by Design. You've come in to join me, Veronica Entwistle, with our wonderful conversation today. We're going to talk about aging. We're not going to do aging normally in this world, are we? Those of us who are metaphysicians working on human potential, well, we're working on evolution. We're working on phases of consciousness. We're working on moving beyond what I always kind of understand lately is the restrictions placed upon our cellular replication, our restriction placed upon us by whoever programmed us to be this amazing species here on the planet Earth, the planet of density, third density, I think they call it. And it's the planet where we're supposed to be having, so we hear, some of the greatest forward motion in the journey of the soul. Because we have so much affliction and limitation and density that we're learning to, what, step out of, move out of, and so on. The conversation about aging is really, really crucial, or actually not just the conversation, but the awarenesses that you and I can develop and the ways that we can move past the limiting forces of ourselves, of our inherited, our lineage traps, you know, illnesses and so on, into much more freedom as we're aging. Now, sometimes people don't live a long time, but they do unlimit themselves. So that, in turn, is really a very good way to age as well. Because a lot of times, the crippling aging stuff is all about where we contain, or we repress, or we suppress, and we hold back because of what? Reactive energies, things that have happened in the past, people wooing us into believing that we're going to get more attention if we act really weak, or, you know, the old thing about the male-female, the convention that the woman's not supposed to show her intelligence too much, or mothers always succumb to the father, or whatever it was that you took on that you believed that really repressed you. We need to be looking at all these, and a lot of us have been working for, these many years, trying to clear out that which has been trapped within our beingness. And I really believe, and my guides are certainly good at teaching that as well, that the release of those old trapped reactions is the route to getting out of that incredible conscription into all that really debilitating aging. Now, who knows? Dr. Valerie Hunt is going to be my paradigm shifting guest at 5 o'clock. She's an amazing woman. She's 91. She finally told me her age and said she's willing to talk about aging. But she's been working on subtle energy and the movement of subtle energy through the body mind for the sake of healing and invention and creating a consciousness in our collective for many years. And she's a really good example. Here she is at 91 and she's doing original research. She's just getting a new book coming out. And she's going to talk to us all about what she does when she comes on at 5 o'clock. But in the meantime, we have lots to do. We're going to be talking about the various phases of your life. I've tapped into the Lazarus material, and I've used this stuff before, but it's really good. He talks about the seven faces of the soul and how your soul comes into your life, seven different phases, including your time of death. And we'll be talking about that in a moment. And I'm going to accept your calls today as well. We have a lot to do, so your calls have to be rapid and fast and poignant and so on. I got an email from Laris over in Spain. Many of you have heard that she would call in from Barcelona. And she's got some physical healing that's going on. Hi, Laris. We're thinking about you and sending you love, sending you light. But I'm going to use her situation in our opening meditation. We're going to take a situation which includes Laris's situation into our structure, our opening meditation, because, as the guides always remind us, it truly enhances the vibrational reality of our healing. We know we can do a lot of healing work, and sometimes our inner intentions, our hidden intentions, our subconscious resistances and so on might work against us. But what we're working on today is calling in the frequencies that come from different galactic centers, or you can just simply call them universal frequencies, or you can call in different colored light frequencies, whatever works for you in your particular fascination with human potential or your potential right now. And as we bring in those frequencies, we really can activate some of our own cellular memories of being in these different galactic centers. For those of you who listened to Caroline Corey last week, oh my, I loved that. And she told me ages back that I was that we all have a soul lineage, just like you're French or German or Chinese or whatever. We all have a soul lineage as well, and we have different natures to our soul. And she was talking about, you know, whether you're a light being or a star being or so on. But anyway, whatever it is that you were, where you came from originally, or probably the most recently to arrive on this plane for this particular lineage, you have within your cellular structure that kind of consciousness and that kind of intelligence. So she used me as an example and said that I came from the light lineage. And so basically, I come here and I've got this slightly different conscious than if I had come in from the human lineage or the star lineage. But as we get older, what we can do, not as we get older, but because we're getting older, let's take advantage of what we know and start to apply what we know, which is my cells, maybe yours too, I'm just using me as an example, have this light lineage in them. And if I work it right and become really conscious about it, I can evoke that. I can start it moving through my body, and I can actually do healing work within myself and with others using light. Now, Laris has got a different kind of energy. I think I'm not really adept at this particular thing, but I'm looking across at you in Barcelona. I hope you're awake tonight. I know it's the middle of the night for you. And I'm seeing in your cellular structure more of the star. You have the star lineage, and I don't know enough about it to describe it very well. I can just see it. And the thing is also, she probably has a lot of the Sirius heritage. And so what we're going to do is take a few minutes. We're going to go into our structure. I'm going to ask you to take yourself in there with your physical, let's pick a physical situation you want to shift within yourself. And then we're going to trust. While we're in the structure, and remember after we get spinning in the double tetrahedron, and we look on the magic screen, we're going to see ourselves there and some physical aspect that you want to improve in yourself or heal in yourself. And we're going to call in our cellular lineage or the vibrational. We're going to call in the vibrations from your soul lineage and really have it impact yourself, because it's resonant in there and you can evoke its intelligence. You can bring it forward. And how do we heal? We don't know. Nobody knows how we heal. My suspicion is when we line up our intention, our self-love, our respect for spirit, a certain amount of surrender, a certain amount of joy, we can heal probably anything. But let's just give it a try. Let's do this wonderful thing with Laris, with one another, and for the whole planet. I always like to take the planet in it and the collective consciousness as well and give it a little bit of prod. Bazoing! See if we can all get light together. Couple of deep breaths. I'm out of breath. I must have been talking very fast. Okay. Let's call in the presence of the golden ball above our heads, perhaps 2 miles. And now below our spine, the base of our spine, perhaps 40 feet. And now dropping a filament of light from the upper golden ball right down through your spine into the lower golden ball. And now around your waist, perhaps an 8 feet radius, a series of these golden balls, a circle of golden balls. Just as soon as we say that, I can just feel the resonance. And from the upper golden ball down to the circle of golden balls drop many, many, many filaments, radiant, radiant filaments of pink light. And from the circle of golden balls to the lower ball, many, many pink filaments of light. Good. And now inside that structure, you've just done a structure, haven't you? The canopy pointed up and one pointed down. Now inside of it, create a crystal ball, a beautiful crystal ball. And the outside edges of your crystal ball are nudging the inside edges of your structure. Good. And now inside of that, you are in a double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. So you're in a kind of a diamond-like shape. Relax. Oh, you're in a beautiful, beautiful vehicle. I see other structures around, so if you do, you go ahead and use those as well. And now we're spinning in the double tetrahedron, spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. Good. Now in front of you, whilst you're spinning in your double tetrahedron, see a magical screen, and upon this screen, create little movies of what it is you're wanting to create in your life. Good. Now in this case, we want to, at least one of your movies has to be about, doesn't have to be, I'm suggesting we do it this way, put a movie of yourself and something that you want to heal about your health. Okay? And you see yourself in this wonderful structure on this amazing screen, and you want to heal something in yourself. And now we're calling in, whilst you see yourself on the screen, see yourself calling in the light, the special frequencies from wherever in the universe you want. I'm calling it in from my galactic heritage. And for Laris, I'm seeing it coming from Sirius. And ask your guides and angels to bring in especially these lights. What happens in your body? Mine just started to tingle and buzz and crackle. And remember to direct these amazing lights to whichever part of your beingness is struggling or wanting to improve or needs fixing, whichever. And feel that energy. You see, very often it's just our congestions, isn't it, that create our illnesses. And sometimes we can get right to the root of those and just blast the energy and let it expand and unfold and recreate. Excellent. Now spend a couple of minutes and do other things in your screen, projects you want to accomplish, people you want to help heal, planetary journeys you want to accomplish. Stable economics, resources coming to you, healing of your family and your lineage. When you're on your own, we're not on live radio, you can spend half an hour or so doing this, can't you? So now we move back into the double tetrahedron and spin it again and again. Give your frequency another spin. Excellent. So let's talk. We're going to talk about, well, we're talking about aging today. As we said, the guides were saying really clearly that you can bring in, you can call in consciously higher frequency energies that are yours, really. They're in your lineage. They're not the lineage we're used to paying attention to. But you can call them in and you can really activate your ability, your potential to keep evolving. Now, in our society, aging is kind of a problem. It's like, you know, in the old days or in different societies in the world, if somebody got too old in a nomadic society to travel or too sickly to travel, too infirm, they would leave them on the side of the road or they would leave them somewhere else and they'd just move on. And that was acceptable. In some ways, our society kind of does that, but we have a little bit more of a denigrating style, I believe. For many, many people, it's like, you can't really handle things, so we're just going to charge you lots of money and you won't be able to make it and you'll have a really horrible, we'll put you in these homes or we'll put you in a, I don't even really want to go into it all. You know what the program is. So anyway, the thing about Lazarus, oh, I know that Mary Baker Eddy, who did Christian Science, I forgot to bring it to this to my microphone today. But anyway, she has a wonderful, wonderful paragraph about aging. She says, don't name your age. Of course, that's classically Christian Science. Don't name your infirmity. Don't name the years. Any of those things. Just be in the now. And what she says is that as you should be getting more and more full of light, more and more full of light. And that's what the advancement of time and learning is. So then we're going to talk about Lazarus's point of view as soon as we've talked to our wonderful caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica.
Hello, Lazarus. How are you?
Good afternoon there. Good. I so deeply appreciate what your meditation today, your structure. And I actually did it, and I feel very good. And anyway, I want to be brief, but I want everybody to know that I have had such a wonderful experience with you, and it's the first time in my life that I have seen so much of a matching between what you have told me without not even knowing me and what the doctor actually told me about my eye problem. I did call on January the 15th, and I asked you about my eye, not even saying what eye, you know, the left or the right one, and you said, is the left right? And I said, yes, it's the left. And then you started saying that you saw an injury, and I said, no, I mean, I don't remember having any injury or anything. And you describe everything, and said that I should have acupuncture and stuff. And then we had on the 19th, we have a private session. And later, and there you told me that I needed to put a lot of, salty water warm and having eye washes very frequently. And it turned out that when I saw the doctor right now, 3 days ago on the Friday, the February, the last Friday, the ophthalmologist, she told me that what I had was an injury from wearing contact lenses for so long. Mm-hmm. And that what I had was a scar, which was exactly what you have said. And also that all that I needed to do and the only thing that can be done was actually having this saline water drops on my eyes all the time.
Excellent.
So, I mean, this was like, my God, what is this? You know, how could she know all of that? I mean, thinking about you, how could you know all this? And, well, of course, this is not my only experience with you. We have had a lot of other discussions about my, you know, a private life and stuff, and I'm really astonished, I have to say it. So I deeply appreciate having met you, and you know, I'm right now I am going through a lot of transformations, and many of those you have supported me so much, and always thinking of you very frequently. So just wanted to say that as a testimony.
Thank you, Lars. I feel honored. Thank you so much. Keep going, because that's how we're going to stay younger, young enough to transform easily, right?
Can you say that again?
I said, wonderful. Keep going with your transformation, and that's how we'll stay young.
Yes, yes. And the last thing I want to say is that, of course, synchronicity always comes to our lives. And I sense that I needed to go to the Cryon website, cryon.com, because I know that there are being a lot of different free downloads of MP3 channelings. And, yes, he had the last one that I haven't heard that he did on Vancouver very, very recently. And it resonated a lot with me, and I think it might resonate with a lot of people too. So whoever is inspired to go to the website and download that, it has to do actually with healing ourselves and with being able to actually stop aging, which is exactly what you're going to talk about today, I think.
Oh, good.
So,
okay.
You know.
And it's cryon.com?
Yes.
Excellent. I'll head for it right now. No, I think I'll finish the show first.
Okay. So anyway, I don't want to take up the whole night. So many, many kisses, many, many, all my love to everybody that is listening, and especially to you and to BBS Radio.
And
okay.
To you. All right. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
Well, that's bye-bye. Wonderful. She's just added to our research as well. What a wonderful call, and hopefully all of our conjoint energy has helped a great deal as she goes through this change. Now, what I'd like to do is talk about Lazarus's seven faces of the soul. Hello, is there somebody there? Okay. Seven faces of the soul, because as Lazarus said, and Bob, who's always sitting here, wonderful Bob, he pointed it out, Bob's done long-term studies with Lazarus, how Lazarus really itemizes or chronologues seven different phases of our life where the soul actually comes in to really wake you up. And I'm just going to itemize them quickly or list them very quickly. And the thing about them that's really important is that some of them include the parts of our life in which we're getting older are crucial. I mean, our whole journey is not just a big laugh. Well, maybe it is a big laugh. We'll take this call and we'll see what we have to laugh about. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. It's Vicki.
Hi, Vicki. Are you laughing?
I am. I am. I've given myself permission to laugh.
Good girl.
Yes. And I feel much younger doing it.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just have a kind of a question. I suppose it's more like a validation.
Okay.
Because it feels like I just moved through something.
Oh, good.
And an integration was going on or something.
Can I ask you your age?
48. Is that my soul's face?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was going to talk about Lazarus and the faces of the soul. And what he talks about is the shadow comes up around the time of the wounding, which can be, we'll just say, approximately 18. And it doesn't leave the shadow part. And you know, most of you have heard lots about the shadow, especially if you've listened to Jackie's show on Thursday nights. But the shadow is a repository for all kinds of things that we don't express, whether it's collective or individual. And it's the thing that sometimes drives us to meet difficulties, go through crap, go into the dark parts of our life, and so on. And apparently the shadow runs through those years, 18 to about 55.
Oh, so I have a ways to go?
Yes, but the thing about it is that by the time he writes this, you go, oh, it's really valuable because we're here as a soul. And we've got this journey, right?
Right.
And your journey isn't the same as mine. And the only way we know what it is that's really ours is through these deep impulses. So what you've got is a new kind of light coming up in the heart area.
Right.
And I would say that you have more shadow to go through. Okay, I've just been reading all this stuff.
Right.
But I also see a new opening in your heart, meaning you're developing a deeper and a more surrendered sense of love.
Yes.
And that's something I'm really excited about because I've known Vicki off and on for, what, 15 years?
14, 15 years, I guess.
Yeah. And I have watched, like many of you, I've seen many of you go through huge aspects of your journey. And this one has been a struggle for Vicki because of your soul's journey pushing you to release some ancient, experiences that have you a little suspicious of love, being extremely loving and also being afraid of that at the same time. Does anybody else have that? And I would say you've just broken something through and you're really about ready to kind of be more relaxed in love.
Uh-huh.
How does that feel?
Well, I look in the mirror. A while back I took all my mirrors down.
Uh-oh.
And I put a couple back up.
Good girl.
And I looked in my mirror and I saw this new light inside my eyes that I've never, it was like, wow. I've never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've been feeling lately is just kind of this peace place, but yet with my fiery self, I question it, so to speak. But I think it's love. I'm calling it love.
You know, you said something else that's really interesting, which is if you have a fiery part of your nature, some of us are very rambunctious people, right?
Uh-huh.
We can be peaceful with that.
I can do what?
We can also be peace. It's a conundrum, but we can be peaceful with being rambunctious, can't we?
Yeah, I think that's the balance I'm striving for.
And the humor. Like, look what I am. I'm this, and I'm at peace with it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still a character, and I'm still, volatile, and I'm still, funny and disruptive. This is me now, disruptive.
Yeah.
You're disruptive, too, I think, actually.
Yeah. And so I'm taking this class next month, an intensive course, and I'm just wondering, part of me is really looking forward to it, but yet through my shadow work, I have huge disappointment, obviously, and, this old tie back. But I really want to move forward with this one because I just find it, I don't know what it is. I just know something. So does the guide say anything about that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a good class for you. I'll tell you why, is it just looks... Do you have to travel for it?
It looks what?
There's something about it that I don't think you want to go.
Yeah.
What is the course, or do I want to ask you that?
Oh, the course is learning hypnotherapy and neuro-linguistic programming.
Do you have to travel for it?
Yeah, I do. And so that's, arrangements have already been made, but it's hard pulling away from all my animals. But I really find that because I'm really interested in PTSD and stuff because of my own, obviously. But I thought that would really help out.
Is it a 3-day course or how long?
No, it's 16 days.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, you feel to me like you don't want to go.
See, and that's my question, is that part of me really wants to go and part of me doesn't want to go. So is that my soul holding me back or is that the ego holding me back, or how do you decipher?
I think you have to sit in, just sit with it, that kind of meditation where you take this question and you just sit in it.
Yeah.
And you will know very fast.
Because part of it is just a fear of moving forward. Why would I want to move forward when I'm quite complacent where I'm at? You know what I mean? That old...
Yeah, but I have to tease you and go, I've never seen you be complacent ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just asking another question here, which is, ask your belly, is this what you want to do? Just ask your belly.
Well, you know what I find? I hear no, but it's not this, but I want to take it and switch it into magic. Isn't that funny?
You mean you want to take a magical course?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting something funny about it, as if there's something like, I was going to say light, some kind of light course or something that's really transcendent or something that you would want to take.
Right.
And it's right around you. You have to travel for this one, don't you?
Yeah.
So I think that there's a rise in you. Here's how it's going. I do believe this is your soul talking to you, that there's an aspect of your nature that is rising into a stronger light place and wants to play in that, wants to just like take off and run with it.
Uh-huh.
And this might feel a bit too much like it's being strapped to the earth.
Uh-huh.
And you have also a very strong healing nature which you're not trusting too much.
Right.
Does that make sense? So if you go, it's not going to be horrible. I just don't think you're going to feel... that this is the right, there's something questioning you. So I would say sit in a meditation and simply focus on that course.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Yeah. I just feel like I'm locked into it, though. That's the other problem.
Well, just find out, because I'll tell you what, it's so magical these days that things will suddenly shift if they have to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
And you don't know.
No, I don't.
So, and that's good. I'm really glad when I don't really know. Then you don't have to be in charge, darling.
Uh-huh.
I have a feeling that if you're not supposed to go, the whole thing will just morph and it'll be very easy for you.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Things will get blocked and changed, and I get the giggles. We started this conversation with a laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing going, you know what? You are magical and this is going to change.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Thank you for your call, Vicki.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. sometimes when people call in, the questions are so fascinating, and they actually represent huge, huge steps in our own journey, don't they? People, most of you callers have been so strong about presenting things that are nuggets of change and growth. So let me know. Email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I love to hear how you're handling things, or even if you want a session, or what came of the question that you were asking, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Or the other thing, you can tell me who you want to talk about on the radio or what you want to talk about. So let's go back to the Lazarus thing. Now, I've got some little notes here because he's so articulate. It's amazing the way he writes stuff. But anyway, he says, this is something that I've mentioned before, he says that the soul begins being heard right at the beginning, that your name is a clue as to who you are, and that didn't matter whether your Uncle Fred or the man down the road or the woman next door named you, or Auntie Doodlehead, it doesn't matter. It all came from the soul. So the soul's first job with you is your name. So what is your name? My name is Veronica, which means image of truth, which is pretty interesting. And what does Bob mean? What does Donald mean? Well, we'll have to look that up. I haven't looked up everybody's name just so I could talk about it. But I do like the idea that I was supposed to be Donna, Bob was Donald, but they looked at me and they called me Veronica. So there you have it. So I must have looked like a Veronica. So what was your name? So that's the first time your soul really had something to say about your life. Then apparently at around 18 months, your desires really start to take control. You know how we talk about the terrible twos and these kids are kind of repressed and so on, or not repressed, they're rebellious and you want to kind of slow them down and they're acting out. Well, he talks about at that point the soul comes in again and is starting to discover, the soul is taking the reins a bit and starting to push the child to realize that his emotions are not his parents' emotions. And so he starts acting from what? Conversations that he's making with inside of himself and all kinds of emotional expressions that are his own. And he's also interacting with the parents and the authorities' emotions and will and so on, and finding his way around them. So it's like that's the first time that the soul really begins to take root. And according to Lazarus, you can really tell, I guess this is true, a lot about who the person is by the way they are at that age. So I think that's probably true. I have to think about it a lot right now. I always have to think about things a lot. And then the next phase is around your late teens, where you're the eternal youth. It may not be the late teens, because as he keeps saying, there's kind of a 14 to 18 section, depends on who you are and what's been going on in your life. And it doesn't even matter, he says, if you're kind of totally shamed and humiliated by difficult circumstances. You still come up with those periods of time in which you're on fire, you're invincible, and you're yourself, and you're not like other people, and you can do your thing no matter what. And he said even those who are really crawling around in shame and so on experience that flash of the eternal youth. So now phase four is called the wounding. So you have eternal youth, and you're just filled with the fire of who you are. And then something happens, and as he keeps saying, it breaks your back. And he says that even though you've been wounded, maybe, you know, for people that have been abused a lot or whatever, there's a certain age you have to get to before the wounding will actually knock your props out from under you, and then you really have a separation between you and God, Goddess, all that is, or you and Mother, Father, God, and Creator Spirit. The entire umbilicus is broken, and guess what? You're going to feel deep down inside that you're on your own. And this is the soul's message to you, that now you start your process of individuation. And when you're on your own, of course it can be crippling, and there's despair, and there's really deep, deep, what would we say, alienation from that which we considered to be the normal structure. And then the question is, how do you put yourself together? And that's really the big deal. That tells a lot about who you are and what your journey is. And then we get to section five, and because of Vicky's call, we've already talked about section five, which is the shadow. Now the shadow comes in at the same time as the wounding. And the shadow is where we put, and I don't know exactly the subconscious versus the shadow, but I would suspect there's an awful lot of overlap in there. It's where we put feelings and reactions that we're not actually expressing. You know, it's sort of like placating the world or putting in feelings of shame. Shame's in the shadow. Putting in deep beliefs about, I don't know, control and so on. For any of you who have been listening to Jackie's show, Jackie Salvitti's show, ET Healing, on Thursday nights, we've been talking about the shadow for, I think, 6 or 8 months now. I don't know how long, but it's been a long time because so much goes on in the shadow. And then what goes on in the shadow pushes us in our lives to actually act out, to encounter certain kinds of relationship difficulties or things that we say, oh, that's karmic, or that's of the soul, or that's something that had to be worked out. And the shadow runs heartily between about 18 and 55, as we said. Meaning you look at people in their 20s and 30s, and they're just working their way through all of these deep drives. These are cellular drives, and that's our shadow doing its thing. So now here we're getting older, okay? So say we come to a point, I mean, we're always aging. And one of the things about aging that my guides are clear about, and I'm clear about as well, is that when we accrue or gather up all these hidden reactions or old reactions in our body, mind, thanks for your call. I'm just going to finish this thought and then I'll get to you. When we're blocking these into our body, the opportunities we have to age in a very crippled fashion are intense. So that's what we're wanting to learn now. Let's clear all this old belief stuff out, change our beliefs, fill ourselves with light, and really begin to get the message and the gratitude, the soul's message, in all the experiences we've had. Anyway, we're going to talk about the next phases after I speak to you. Thank you for calling. You're on the air. Hello? Did you hang up? I guess you did. All right, so we've gone from the shadow, and now we're going into the next phase, which is, now remember the shadow goes right up to 55. Oh, yeah, and one of the things that was interesting is I was reading, I think this was written maybe around 2000, 2001 or something. Is there somebody there? I have no idea. Anyway, the shadow goes to about 55, and as he was saying in this thing that I was reading today on Lazarus.com, he was saying it's really interesting because the baby boomers, so many women were hitting menopause all over the world at around the same time. And menopause is the ending section of the shadow. And my guides always say menopause's advantage is you cannot hold your old patterns. And males have their own form of menopause as well. But he was saying that on the collective level, all of these people are shifting patterns, are coming to the end of their shadow time all together. So that's pretty interesting. And then you come into the time where it's called the double, which I don't quite understand. But anyway, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica, it's Sheila.
Hi, Sheila, how you doing?
Wow, I've had a hard time getting on the radio, but now that I'm on, it certainly sounds like something I could hear from the beginning.
Do you have a question?
Well, actually, I was just hearing a lot about umbilical cord, the shadow side, even, you know, kind of the midlife thing. My mom just left today to go back home after a 2-month stay, and it's been pretty insightful and all, but I feel like I'm really in a place of processing. And I'm wondering if you can...
Did you learn things that you are suppressing because of your mother's existence? Did you learn things about yourself, Sheila?
Yes.
Can't you see your mother, baby, standing in your shadow?
definitely that, and because I wasn't staying in the same place, it gave me a little different perspective.
So is that good?
Pardon me?
Was that good?
Yes, because, you know, I wasn't as reactive. I mean, I felt a lot more compassionate in terms of her age and such, but, you know, I feel like I've got a lot of emotion up and have probably just been waiting to have an opportunity to shake it, you know. I mean, and overall, it was really good. I just, you know, I want to move on.
How old are you now, Sheila?
I am, I believe I'm 54.
Did you hear the section we were talking about, Lazarus' thing, that the shadow goes from, we have our shadow working from about age 18 to about 55.
Okay.
And the mother, your mother, is in your shadow, right? Or not, yeah, actually, we're running programs that we inherited in the shadow and reactive programs. And we've been talking about aging gracefully can be a whole lot about removing these programs, and I know you know lots about that, eh?
Yes.
Did your mom, is your mom peaceful now? She's still
is
quite
she what?
Angry. Is she peaceful?
Peaceful?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you know, I don't know. I mean, she's just so high strung and such a worrier that I don't know that I could say she is. I think in some aspects of her faith and all she is, but I actually think that it's very challenging for her right now aging. She just turned 88 on the 15th, and I see her slipping, and she's just so independent and so strong-willed that I think there's some things going on that it's just kind of hard to talk to her because she's so kind of protective and yet like a little kid. I can't really quite get a read.
Is she afraid of aging?
On one hand she says she's not, but I do think the fact that both my brother and I are not back where she's at, yes, I think there's some fear there. I mean, I hear a lot of mixed messages. I hear no, and yet, you know, it doesn't match up with her words and such. So,
well, one of the things I was just going to talk about when you called in was it's a section called The Double, and that's right after the time of the shadow where we start to live. This is ideal, of course, where because of the soul's influence, we start to live who we really are. And all the wisdom that we've collected, we begin to share it in the world in a kind of a conscious way. You know, it's to embody your life experience. And when I look at your mom, I think she's a good soul, but I don't know if she's really embodied her life experience too well. I think she's kind of run from some of it. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, definitely.
And this is not to judge her. This is to say, how can we learn from her and from her worries? And there's a part of you that sort of suppresses aspects of yourself in self-protection around her and around other people.
Definitely.
Yeah, and the recommendation would be for you to have a fit, write a bunch of stuff, be angry, throw it out of your body, but also pay attention to what you've absorbed from her reactive aspects of her nature. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are two things. One is there's a reverence. This is the thing I loved about Lazarus' stuff that I was reading today. There's a reverence for these later years in, like, really getting to be who we are. And I don't know if she experiences that, but you can, and she'll pick up on that as well. You see what I mean? There's a whole thing about aging that can be a lot more graceful if we're in the honoring of who we are and where we've been.
That seems to fit, because I will say at least I felt acknowledged for the work that I'm stepping into, which I've been a little bit in my, am I really capable of stepping into my power? But I did hear acknowledgement and some support from her, and that felt a little new.
Oh, good. And that made you stronger?
I really appreciated it, because I've just not felt too heard or seen most of my life. So
I think your mom has got a certain amount of light right now and has an understanding of her life that she didn't have before. Instead of just being, I don't know what it was, it's more like a determination. Does she have a lot of back pain?
Yes, actually she does, and I've been concerned about a little bit of the memory, and I don't know if it's low blood pressure, you know, something's going on.
I feel like this, that she's coming to terms with who she is. Her body needs, I would get her into body work, and she needs to have more water. Does she drink a lot of water?
I don't think she probably drinks enough because of the bladder, you know, all the getting to the restroom and all that. So that was my hit when I looked up low blood pressure was dehydration.
Interesting. Well, it just seems like she needs more water, and it seems like for you that there's a separation between the two of you, meaning instead of being locked in some kind of, you know, shadow again, combat, you know, hidden combat. It seems like you're pulling out of it. You're a little depressed around her, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I heard a joke the other day was, if you think you're so enlightened, go spend a week with your family.
That's right, 2 months.
And you know why? It's because their presence triggers stuff that we wanted to get away from, right? Not that they're causing it. It's just that in our subconscious, we have all these old patterns that come up through the lineage. And I look at you being a little depressed about it, but what we want to say is pull them up, look at them, and command total release of those feelings because you're about to launch into a really interesting time of your life. You get really indecisive, and sometimes you can't seem to take the steps. But you're gonna, and this is going to be a really good 5 years coming up.
Excellent. I feel that, and I think I'm just in the throes of it. It actually brought more stuff up around my brother than her. I was kind of surprised. I had more compassion around her and more anger and frustration. And so I guess it's all good. It's getting stirred so I can...
Well, I think you're going to be able to help your mom when she decides to pass. You're going to help her, and that's going to help you.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, don't you think?
Yes, I do. And I really do feel that. I just need to get a better handle on my own self-care and that, you know, like when you were talking about the umbilical cord is to really have the separation. So I'm not so, I think I've done better this time than ever, but it's still been a challenge for me to really disengage.
I just want to smile and say, well, you know what? We have a whole bunch of past life attachment, too. Of course it's a challenge. It's not like this happened in a minute. It's huge. It's very evocative. That's why the wounding that we talked about is so deep as well, because it resonates through the soul with all kinds of situations that we don't even know about consciously, where we've been left out and betrayed, and we have to get the metal to move into our own. And that was a long time ago, but you're still dealing with the shadow, which is the library of experiences. So you're doing a great job.
Well, that's good to hear because I'd really like a relationship, and I'm certainly seeing where, you know, this shadow piece has kept me from wanting to be, probably really wanting to be because of the fear of being controlled and manipulated.
Well, there's kind of a holding back from, it's, okay, the guides are saying this, and I have to let you go at this point, but anyway, the guides are saying it's your relationship with yourself. If you could really woo yourself and really love yourself, it'll just break a whole kind of, I can see it, it's like a patch of energy that's preventing you from sharing. People can only get close to you to a certain degree. You don't have that vibration of being open for a sharing, a dynamic, here I am, and ready to interact. You have more of a self-control, and that self-control is not a sharing one, you see? And you're going to change all that. And the thing I like is we're just reading all these statistics. I don't know about statistics and the soul, but in any case, Lazara says the shadow's done around 55. Well, you're pretty darn close, girl.
Yeah, I guess in the meantime, just keep doing the violet flame, huh?
Yeah, I would just keep doing the violet flame. I'd also ask to feel, if we say something to you, and this is for everyone at home, if we say you have a little trouble opening into relationship, call it up in your body. Say, is this so? I want to feel it. I want to feel what that means. Maybe it isn't quite right. how does it really feel? And the more you can get some sense of that congestion, the easier it is for you to command total release of it or swish it through. You get it in your throat, you get it in your stomach, you get it in your belly. I can see it. And you even get it in your upper thighs at the front going right into the knees. Can you feel that?
Yes.
And a wiggling in your feet. I have to let you go, but...
Okay, I may have to give you a call.
Please do. It would be great to
thank you, darling. I appreciate you.
Take care.
Much love.
Keep a sense of humor.
Okay.
Now, here we are. The double, I didn't really understand quite what it was, except that I think it's post-shadow, where we go out and really fully embody who we are. And it's all your life experiences and all the stuff that you've been through has made you what you are. It's an amazing time. And the final one, the part of your soul's connection with you that works with your life, the final part is called the remain. And now apparently the remain is the aspect of your soul journey that I guess collects the wisdom and information of this life. And apparently the remain, that part of your soul, hovers around you when you have your wounding, when you have great initiations and so on. It's always participating when aspects of your nature are dying. And then near your final death, it's really interesting, it's the one who sends you back when you have a near-death experience. It's the one that says it's not time yet. It's time, and it never abandons you. So let's see here. The soul knows who you are, and it holds in its resonance the connection and the essence of being in communication with you. It holds your destiny, it holds your power, it holds your talent, and it holds the means and the wherewithal to discover what it is. So we're talking about aging, really, not the soul, but I wanted to say that in aging, there are some very vital, vital parts to the later stages of our lives on this planet. They're very vital. Are you living into who you really are? Are you putting that aspect of your nature that has lived so much experience into the world? Are you really just doing it? I know from many of your calls and emails and discussions and so on, that's what you're wanting to do. So keep going, because that's the part of aging that you can't have till you get there. You can't have the pleasures and the wisdom and the goldenness of aging until you've lived quite a while. So it's really wonderful, and we have to learn to turn and respect one another and respect other people that you see that are really getting along. My paradigm shifter today is a woman who's in her 90s. She's an amazing woman. I've studied her stuff through the years. She's Dr. Valerie Hunt, and her website, I think, is called bioenergyfields.org. She started doing research on subtle energy and she's an intuitive, and she started doing research on subtle energy and how to use it consciously to evoke healing in people, how to measure fields, how to see what the energies are of different aspects of life and so on. Anyway, she's coming on, and she's going to be talking to us at 5 o'clock West Coast time, which is 8 o'clock East Coast time, and I'm awfully honored to have her because she's really an amazing light. Now in her 90s, she's still doing original research. She's very willing to talk about aging. She's feisty. I had a long conversation with her before today's radio, and oh my goodness, she's very, very smart, and just a really good example of when you use energy fields and you change them around and you don't stay trapped, you don't have to get all rumpled up like some people who are locked in the traumas and pain of their past, maybe even their past lives. And even if you don't live a long life, it would be really nice to have cleared and released tremendously in order to have gotten what it is your soul wants you to get. So that's a little bit of the talk about aging. I'm going to leave. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you've been listening to Radiance by Design. Email me if you'd like to talk about anything to do with the show or yourself, or have a session with me and my wonderful guides and angels, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. And I'm going to be on Jackie Salvitti's show. I'm her sidekick. I'm the person who sits with her. She does ET healing Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, and that's a really dynamic show that I've learned so much listening to Jackie and her team. They're wonderful. So I'm going to leave you for 4 or 5 minutes, and I'll be talking to you with Dr. Valerie Hunt at the top of the hour. Many blessings.
Hi, this is Inspirational